from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, grace and peace from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is known as the resurrection and the life. He is the first. He is the last. He is the beginning, the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. I can only imagine. I can only imagine is not only a blockbuster motion picture currently showing these days on the big screen, but it's also the title of our Easter sermon series for April and May. And I can't believe that Hollywood would steal this idea from us. In this sermon series, we will explore many of the images and glimpses of heaven that the Bible presents. And today's message focuses upon three promises of God's Word. The first of which is in heaven, we will celebrate with a new body. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, and please say it with me, if you will, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." We bear witness in that creed to the biblical truth that when Christ comes again, when he comes again at the end of the world, he will bodily raise us from the dead. He will lift us out of the 6 feet of dirt that's on top of us. He will pull us out of the casket in which our lifeless body was laid. He will bring us out of the dust from which we have now returned. And it will be out of the oceans and rivers and seas in which people have drowned, out of the ashes from which bodies were burned, out of the elements in which people were eaten by lions and tigers and bears and sharks. When Jesus returns in glory, he will come to create a new heaven and a new earth. And we, Christ followers, shall be raised with a bodily form. You know, we kind of scratch our heads sometimes, or at least I do. What will this bodily form be like? Will we look like now, or when we passed away, or the prime of our life, or when we were young, 21, or whatever? What age and what stage of a body will we have in heaven? The answer to these questions? Don't know. I don't know. Don't exactly know. I just hope that the body that I have then isn't like the one I have now, all right? If you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may know that I hit the big 6-0 this last January, and I'm a little bit upset at some of you. I don't know why you didn't tell me. Why did you not prepare me? Those of you who have been there and done that, why didn't you tell me what to expect? You know, I'm a little bit falling apart here physically. Actually, I have been for several years. Four years ago, I was diagnosed with a blood disorder whereby I'm susceptible to having blood clots. And so now I'm on a blood thinner med for the rest of my days. 3 years ago, I was discovered that I have this pre-diabetic neuropathy in my feet. It sort of feels like pins sticking all the time, and they get hot and cold off and on. More pills. And this gray stuff that started in my temples is now growing like weeds over the top of my ears, and I think it's going up on the top of my head. There are no pills for that, but they do have coloring. Three months ago, I hurt my back, and I've not quite fully recovered. And yet I know this is TMI, way too much information. But those bathroom trips in the middle of the night are becoming more and more frequent. Yes, extra pills, more pills. Pills are holding my life together. I hope that the eternal body that God gives us isn't anything like this earthly one I have right now. 1 Corinthians speaks of us having a physical body. A physical body that God gives us as we walk this earth. It's made in the image of Adam. It's out of the dust of the ground. But 1 Corinthians 15 goes on to say, when God raises us from the dead, we'll be given a new body, a resurrected, heavenly, spiritual body made in the image of Christ. Don't know exactly how that will be. Don't know. But I do know, we do know, that when Christ stands upon the earth in all of his glory, when he brings this age to a close, we will be raised from the dead and given new bodies. And evidently these new bodies, there will be something connected to some physical elements. The scriptures, the images give us ideas that there will be banquets in heaven, eating and drinking and celebration. But the difference, the big difference will be, as stated in 1 Corinthians 15, this perishable body will put on imperishability. And this mortal body will put on immortality. You see, what that means is for someone like my dad, who I was able to be by his side in his dying moments, as many of you were possibly by your loved one's side when they passed away, my dad's heart was given out. The ulcer in his stomach was flowing blood. His lungs were failing due to 70 years of inhaling nicotine. Blood pressure was dropping. But in heaven, my dad will have an imperishable heart and lungs, an immortal stomach and perfect blood pressure. It's like with my Aunt Jeannie. She was dying of dementia at age 63. She did not know sugar from salt. She could not tie her own shoes or recognize family members. But in heaven, her memory function will be restored crystal clear. On this planet, we may get 1 year, maybe 20, 45, 63, 81, 110 years. But in that process of time, we have a date with death. Our bodies break down. They play out. As many say around here, auf Deutsch, they go ausgespiel, right? Which means they wear out. I can only imagine what we'll be like. And yet what I do know is that God's word says that there will be no death or disease, no more mourning or crying or pain, no more scorching heat on our bodies, for we will celebrate with new bodies. The scripture also says we'll celebrate a new home in heaven. Well, the VTechs have now been in their new home 1.8 miles from here for the past year. Can you believe it? A whole year has passed. And we absolutely love it, so thank you very much for making that option available to us to own a home. But again, you should have told me. You should have told me about home ownership. I mean, we've only lived in it for 12 months, and already the microwave has gone on the fritz. It had to be repaired. One of those $30 canister lights that they stick up in your ceiling had to be replaced. The AC unit got this little pinhole in the copper tubing, and it was out of Freon. You know how much Freon costs these days? The garage door quit working properly, so it had to be rehung, or it was going to fall down. And we've had to have the bug people out to chase off critters time and time again. The dryer vent was incorrectly installed, had to be rerouted. All this in a house we've only been living in. It's brand new, so what's next? I don't even want to ask. I can't wait to see what sort of issues and expenses we'll incur in the next year, much less the next five. Borrowing from another German phrase that is said among some of our older members and community people. I hope I say this right. Emavas. Emavas. What does that mean, Charlie? Emavas. There's always something else. There's always something. There's always something in the house. And when they say emavas around here, you have to say it and you have to shake your head just a little bit. Emavas. Say it with me. Emavas. Emavas. There's always something. There's always something going on. There's always something going on in our homes too, right? Maybe it's with the marriage. Maybe it's parental frustration. But maybe it's that hard task of parenting our parents or dealing with a belligerent ex-spouse. Maybe it's a family feud over land ownership, or possibly just finances, making ends meet. Maybe it's a struggle with alcohol or gambling, depression or grief. The home can be a mess. You know, this is one of the huge motivations why we here at Holy Ghost, with the blessing of an anonymous gift, initiated this new ministry program called Life Care Ministry with Pastor Rick McMinn. To hopefully, through counseling and group sessions, bring hope and healing and wholeness to our hearts and our homes. We're here on earth. Emavas. There's always going to be something in our homes. But that's here on earth. It won't always be like that. For John 14, Jesus says this, In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will come again to take you to myself. A new home, he promises. But I don't think he's talking about one where there's eternal warranties on our appliances. I don't think God's talking about a roof on our head that lasts forever or houses that never need painting or repair. I think he's talking more about what God intends for us in terms of a safe haven or a place of refuge where our broken hearts and our hurts are healed, where relationships come out of love and care and joy is at the center. A place of, well, to borrow from another great big blockbuster movie, The Lion King, where everything is Hakuna Matata, which means no worries reside here. Hakuna Matata, no worries. You see, God promises that in heaven, we will celebrate a new type of home. And third, God's word promises another new, that we will celebrate a new life. A new life. I think most of us would agree around here that we're very blessed to live in this community, right? We live a pretty darn good life here on planet Earth in FBG. Not perfect. But compared to many communities and compared to places in the world, pretty good, pretty darn good. You know, but even here in our insulated little community of Fredericksburg, truth is that we're just one mass shooting or just one public bombing or one something away from having the innocence of our Mayberry lifestyle upset. You see, that the devil's at work in the world. Satan is alive and well in this world. This is not heaven. This is not paradise. So what that means is that there's going to be brokenness and there's going to be division, discord. And that's brought on by Satan, and the devil is at the core of it. You see, his game plan is the great divide, where he can work pain and terror and chaos, hate, into our earthly life, into our communities. You see, Satan really only plays one card. He really only has one trick up his sleeve, one play in the playbook, which is divide. He says to himself, if I can divide them, I have them leaning my way. His motto is divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Rarely does he ever have to go another route. Divide, divide them, divide them. That's what he's doing with countries in this world. You know, America, Korea, China, Japan. It's about division. Satan keeping those things in people's hearts and in our leaders' heads. Seeds of unrest that divide us racially, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. The song says they are all precious in his sight, but we think that's in his sight, maybe not always in our sight. Division by Satan. But polarization between the red states and the blue states, conservatives and liberals, split the sheets. Separated even among churches, all the denominations that we have, yet Christ is one, but we have all these denominations. And even in some churches, the devil works division. You see, Satan works overtime. He works overtime to create cracks of division in this earthly life. But that's not how it will be, the new life in heaven. For Revelation 21 states, Jesus says, I will make all things new. And it actually began on Christmas. And it was sealed on that first Easter when Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all. And I can only imagine a life of inner peace and outer harmony where a child is not judged by the color of their skin, but the character of their heart. Where sex is not exploited, but it's honored. Where stress and anxiety are nil and hate is non-existent. It's whereas the prophet Isaiah says, where the lion and the lamb will lie together in peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. That's how it will be in heaven. And yet God says, peace on earth, goodwill to all. God intends for heaven to begin now. Isn't that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. God would have us think about it this way. Heaven is a future reality where all those who believe and confess live and die in faith in Jesus, where everything will be made perfect with a new body, a new home, and a new life. Heaven is future, but heaven is also intended to be what we strive for as we journey in faith here on planet Earth. So can we only imagine the celebration of heaven, or can we begin by faith to live it in the now? Amen.